Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Surviving the Shift, a show where spirituality meets practicality, with your host, Michelle Arbeau.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Surviving the Shift. I'm your host, Michelle Arbeau. Tonight we have special guest Tori Hartman. Tori is a renowned psychic and founder of Tori Hartman, Inc. She has a beautiful candle and jewelry line, and a piece of her jewelry has actually been seen on Oprah. In addition to her intuitive readings, Tori also has an online spiritual club and offers live seminars to support you on your spiritual journey. Tori understands her work to be about empowering people to connect with Source and fulfill their divine potential. She's a firm believer that when we take a leap of faith, the universe catches us. So I'd like to welcome Tori to the show, but I'm not certain which number. We have so many callers in the queue, I'm not certain which one Tori is. So what I'm going to do, actually, is dial out. I have a number here for Tori, so hopefully, Tori, you'll be able to pick up and I'll be able to connect with you. I wasn't anticipating so many people in the queue. I've been through several callers, but none of them were Tori. So I'm going to dial out now and see if I can connect with her. If everyone can just hang tight for a second. Okay, I'm just going to give her a buzz. Oh, there we go. Oh, I see her in the queue, I think. Hang on here. Tori, is this you? Hang on. Tori, is this you?
Hello?
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 Hi, who is this?
You called me. Who's this?
Oh, I'm sorry. I did call you, but I also saw your number in the queue as well. So is this Tori?
Yeah.
Hi, Tori. It's Michelle.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you? Did you call in, or did we kind of connect somehow? Did you already call in?
Oh, no. I haven't called in yet.
Oh, you didn't? Okay. No, that's okay. That's okay. I had so many callers in the queue that I wasn't sure which one was you, so I said I'm just going to dial out and see if I can get her.
Oh, perfect. Oh, I'm so glad you did. Because we're sitting here talking, and I'm blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden I realized, oh, my gosh, you're right. And I was so looking forward to your call. Can I give you another number to call me in on? This number may cut out. That's why I'm...
Okay, why don't you call back into the show, and then I can just
bring
you back
on?
Because it's a toll-free number, so that way whatever
Absolutely.
Number you're calling on. Okay, all right, do that.
I'll,
go ahead.
I'm going to hang up, and I'll call you right back.
Okay, cool.
Okay, thanks. All right, bye.
All right. All right, guys, hang tight. She's going to give us a call back. So we've got about 7-8 callers in the queue. So we've got a lot of callers tonight. We've got to see if we can work through everyone and see if we can get some airtime for everyone. Okay, I think this may be her. Hang on. My apologies to everyone listening. I didn't anticipate the queue being this full, but... Tori, is this you?
Hello?
Hello, this isn't Tori, is it? No?
No.
Okay, just hang tight then. We'll take callers at the end of the show, the second half. Okay. Okay, we're still waiting for Tori to call in. Oh, here we go. This must be her. Hi, Tori, is this you?
Hello?
Hi. Is
this
you, Tori?
No, it's not.
No? Okay. Okay, hang on then. Okay, we're up to 9 callers in the queue. Oh, my goodness. It's going to be a busy show. Okay. She still hasn't called in, but everyone just hang tight. We'll get started as soon as we can. We're still waiting. 9 callers in the queue. Still no Tori. Let me see. I'm not certain how many we can take in the queue before it doesn't allow anyone else to call in. Maybe I'll give her a call back again and see. Oh, here we go. This must be her.
Hello?
Hi, Tori. Is this you?
Yes, I've been trying to get in, and it's been busy, so.
Oh, yes. Well, we have 10 callers now in the queue, so I'm thinking there must be an upper limit, maybe up to 10 callers.
Oh, okay. Because I left your message at home, too. I was like, oh, I'll call you here, I'll call you there.
Okay, yes. Great. Now that we have you on the air, finally, I guess we'll dive right in. So,
okay.
So, Tori, I'd like to know a little bit about your background, first of all, because everyone, you know, when they have a psychic on air, they want to know your history. They want to know, you know, how did you come upon these gifts or how did you recognize that you had them and, you know, the whole nine yards. So if you could start there, that would be great.
Sure. For me, I'm probably the most reluctant psychic out there. I mean, it really started as very much a trial and error thing in terms of, I never set out to hang out a shingle or become, you know, say I'm going to be a psychic now. It was really one of those things where, as a child, I knew things. And for anybody who, you know, who reads my bio on the site, basically, when I was a kid, my dad would worry about money. He was an actor, and he'd say, "Oh, what am I going to do?" And I'd say, "What are you worried about? You have that check for $308 and." Sure enough, that afternoon a check would come, and it was that exact amount. And the way I experienced it, Michelle, was always that that it would just like appear as if we'd had that conversation. So, in other words, you know, it was just in my head, and I'd say, "Oh, hey, Michelle, how are you? Did you find that pen you lost?" And you'd be like, "Did I tell you about my pen?" And I was like, "Oh, I thought you did." So it almost was as if it was like conversation we had that we didn't have.
Yes.
And so that's
yes.
how I experienced it. And I think many, many, many people have this kind of intuitive knowing and intuitive gift. And I think that some people, I mean, I was lucky because my mother was, you know, she was really wacky. And she was someone who would be, you know, I'd say, "Mom, you know, I don't want to go in there. There's a ghost." And my mother would say, "Oh, it's okay, honey. They're not going to bother you. Just go ahead." And I'm like, okay, you know. And so I kind of learned to just accept angels and spirits as just being in the room with me. And it wasn't like something that was weird or outside the norm. And so subsequently, I believe if you want to know what you're supposed to do in life, you just try to hide from it. I've spent a lot of time really, I would say, avoiding doing psychic work and intuitive work because it was difficult. It's hard to admit to people. It's embarrassing. People challenge you. You know, I remember I was sitting with a friend who's a successful actor now, very, very famous guy, and we're sitting there one day and he looked at me and he said, "Do you really believe all this junk you're doing? And I said, well, no. And he looked at me and said, what? How can you do it then? And I said, well, I don't have to believe it to do it. Like, it just happens. And so I experience it. And so what does belief have to do with your experience? And it's kind of like, you know, that's faith, right? So, you know, I think that's kind of how my gift did develop. And then I had a near-death experience where I became very ill in the 80s. And that's when it really, that's when the color wisdom cards came about, Michelle. And that's when the whole, you know, angels were coming and telling me what I thought were these stupid little fables, these stories. And if I didn't write them down, they wouldn't go away. And, you know, my editor said, don't call them stupid. I was like, okay, you know, I was like, okay. And you know, all right. But they appeared to me as being, you know, trite, and I didn't understand what they were at the time. And I think that's what gifts are. We don't always understand them when they're given to us, you know, especially spiritual gifts.
And, yeah, you know, everything you're saying resonates with me so much because, mm-hmm. you know, it sounds like you're saying a lot of my own story. So I really, yeah, it definitely resonates with what you're saying.
Well, and I think that's why, and I related to you right away when I saw your material, and you know, I said to my my PR person, I was like, I want to talk to her, and she was like, why? I said, because she's a Highlander, because I consider all of us, you know, see this kind of work and do this kind of work, and we're Highlanders, and by the way, Highlanders are people that. You can, like, walk away from a conversation with them, not see them for 5 years, and then call them out of the blue and pick up in the exact same spot, you know? You
yes.
know that friend, right? And we all
oh, yeah.
have that friend. And that's that. Those are people that you've been around with before and that energetically match your dynamics. And we have to be around those people to be alive. I have to tell you, if you're around what I consider people that are dulling your senses, you're better to be alone. You really are.
Oh, I agree. Yes, yes. I have a couple of energetic vampires in my life, and I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, and you just have to constantly, I think, be with people that are raising your energetic vibration all the time. I really think that it's if you're not, then you're going to be tired.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
So that's really, I mean, my story is, like, I love psychics and intuitives, and I love people who are doing any kind of light work, any kind of thing where they're working with healing. And, you know, that's how I started my spiritual club, which is so amazing because, for me, it's not a beginner club. Do you know what I mean? There are people like yourself and me in there that are like, you know, we're doing our work, but we found a tribe to be around and to share our experiences with and develop. And that's, you know, that's really important to me now, to be with
yeah.
others. Are you finding that to be, I mean, I think it's huge right now. And that's the blessing of the internet.
Yeah, you know, there, especially in smaller communities, I live in a very small, you know, community where people mm-hmm. come for sessions with me and they're very hush-hush. They don't want to, you know, in not so many words, they say, you know, don't tell anyone I was here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the norm here. It's a very underground kind of movement in terms of spirituality. So, yes, to be with your own tribe or to have some sort of mm-hmm. club to really share those things with, those experiences. Because like you say, you know, there are a lot of us that are experiencing psychic phenomena. It's not just the few gifted people that, you know, do it for a living. It's everyone is gifted with this, and they just don't know it.
Mm-hmm. No, and I agree with you. I think it's huge, and what's going on is just, you know, people are wanting to be inspired. I mean, in spirit, right? Inspired. That's what it is. And,
yes.
you know, we want, at this point in our lives, we realize, hey, if the economy's going south, we better have something that inspires us. We better have something meaningful, and that's relationships with others. That's our connection and our ability to uplift others. You know, if you're not inspired about what's going on in your life, you have to find a place that you will be, wherever that is. You know, whatever kind of club or group or church, go. Be with people that you connect with. But whatever it is, make sure that you're really, truly uplifted by being there, and it makes you a better person, you know? so many people I know who go off to church and then, you know, cut people off on the road, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, be a good person. Be that person that you really want to be and live that inspired life. So that means going to a place where it works for you, you know.
Right, being authentic is what really what you're saying, is being your authentic self. And I've really, you know, I've come across that recently, and it seems to be a hot topic in spirituality to be, you know, just be you, you know, just be comfortable being you. Don't, you know, don't wear all of these different masks, because it's so much easier just to be you.
Oh, I call all that stuff, you know, spiritual bypass, you know, and I love it because, see, I always joke with my assistant. I go, I'm the angriest woman in America today. And she's like, why? I go, I don't know. I just am, you know, and she's like, okay. And, you know, I'll tell you something. I'm a human being, you know, and I have my moods, and, you know, there are moments when I may hand signal in my car just like anybody else. And, you know, I'm not wearing a halo. I do the best I can every day to stay aligned with spirit and my calling, and to assist others in staying in that too. But I think anybody that isn't authentic, if you're not being authentic, you can't be your message, and that's what it is.
Yeah.
I do so much right now, Michelle. I'm doing so much with. I've been talking about. You know, I started talking about cellular memory about 5 years ago with people, and now I'm talking about the multi-generational healing stuff, which we come in with these agreements with our grandparents, right? And so much of my work is about helping you discover what your gifts and agreements are so that you can see what's holding you back and move through it, or what your gift is, which is amazing stuff. And I've been doing that. I accidentally, you know, the old thing, right? Because we accidentally trip over our gifts, right? I accidentally found out that was a very powerful use of the color wisdom cards when I was developing them. And just so you know, this is 20 years in development. This isn't like I got up yesterday and said, I'm going to do a deck, you know?
Yeah.
It's 20
years.
Like,
wow.
Yeah, 20. I had a near-death experience. It was 20 years ago, and that's when the fables came to me. And I wrote them all down. They pretty much ended up in loose pieces of paper and drawers and everything else. And when I collected them and put them together, I was having clients come to me at the time, and they were, you know, dealing with emotional challenges. And I started pulling these fables out and said, here, read this, you know. And as they started to read them, they started to get, it was like a mirror for them. And there were these moral lessons that helped them see things from a different perspective. And to make a long story longer, these people came back to me and were saying, hey, I want to work more with these fables. So I started fable groups, and for the next 5 to 7 years, I think about that time, I was developing these in groups. And we ended up with an inspiration, right, which is the divination, because inspiration or reading or psychic phenomena is in spirit. It's when you're aligned with the highest spirit possible, you know. And then there's that which tells you what the card means. The color, because just to let you know, all of these fables came to me in colored themes. So, you know, it's like Bernie Banana and All Things Yellow, Princess of Amber, Bronze God, and all of these different. So you get the idea that, like, each one has a color and a color definition. And then there's a group activity that came out of the group dynamic, like a mastermind activity that helps us break through whatever we're working on. And there's a solo journaling for people who want to do the work alone, and there's a meditation to really get in touch with what's going on with that energy around you. And what I began to see as I was working with people was that all in this, and you probably experience this too in readings, where a lot of times when the ancestors came through, we got the aha for the client. Like I was, you know, when I was doing readings, and I had this one client come to me, and I'm not kidding, she continually dated cheaters. She married one. She was now, I saw her, she was engaged to one. She had a boyfriend who was one. I mean, it's just like this litany of cheaters. And when I took the color wisdom cards and I said, well, let's look at your grandparents. She said, well, my parents won't count because my parents have been married for 50 years and they're happy. And I said, well, you know, I believe it skips a generation. And so we did, what I do, Michelle, is I put two cards out, one for each of the grandparents. So like mom's mom and dad, and then your dad's mom and dad.
Yeah.
And when you put the cards out, because the arc of the color and that kind of thing, you start to see a pattern and you start to see a dynamic of the relationship almost immediately. And I have to tell you, if you're a reader at all, you'll pick up these cards and get them. I mean, that's, you know, and by the way, the whole thing's free online. You can go online and use them. It's colorwisdomcards.com. And I did that. It takes it directly to, you know, click here for, you know, ask a question and the card will come up. And it has all of the sections I'm talking about. But anyway, this one client, she had in her grandmother on her father's side, a woman named Aubergine. And I said, that's a mysterious woman. What's that about? And she said, well, my dad's parents were married, you know, 60 years or something, and my grandfather died. And, you know, she said, in fact, my grandfather and grandmother were so kind. My grandmother's best friend lost her husband in the war and came to live with them and stayed with them her whole life. And I said, something's not right there. And she was lucky the grandmother was still alive. She went back and talked to the grandmother, because woman from Aubergine is a woman of mystery. It's an unknown. And I said, you don't know the facts on this relationship. So she went back, and after, I guess, a couple of sherries, her grandmother spilled the beans and basically told her that this wasn't her best friend but her husband's mistress. And the husband said, if you don't accept it, you know, I'll kick you out. So she couldn't leave. So here's what happens, and this is why the multi-generational stuff is so valuable, because my client was trying to heal the cheater mentality by dating a cheater and proving she could leave and not knowing why. Why was she doing this one after another? Because subconsciously she was trying to set her grandmother free. And
that's interesting.
It's interesting because once she got it, once she saw it, she went, oh, okay. You know, and when I have clients come in and say, but why do I do it? I say, well, let's look at your grandparents. And I go, here's why you do it. And they go, oh.
That's amazing because, you know, just sitting here, I kind of had an aha moment because, mm-hmm. you know, looking back at my own grandparents, I'm thinking, mm-hmm. you know, there's a couple of patterns in there that I could definitely pinpoint as to, you know, belonging to me too, for sure.
Well, that's exactly it. You can start to see, right, what you're healing and what your agreement is with them.
Yes. Yeah, and because, you know, in terms of my mom, you know, there really mm-hmm. isn't a whole lot there, you know. I really think that we're completely opposite and there really isn't a lot of connection there. But, yeah, and in mm-hmm. terms of my grandmother, yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, it really makes sense. I didn't think of that before, but, yeah, wow, that's amazing.
And you start to see where you got your gifts from, see, because you also got your gifts from your grandparents, which is really fascinating. You know, when you start getting into that, you go, ooh. You know,
yeah, well, my grandmother was an 11, mm-hmm. which is the highest spiritual number, or the, you know, the 11 life path. I'm a numerologist, so I'm always talking in numbers. But, yeah, she was definitely very intuitive. So, yeah, definitely.
I think that's my number. Maybe I'm a 20. I always forget. But, yeah, I understand that. I love numerology. And that's something I started playing with in the cards as well, with the numbers. You know.
Well, the colors, for example, colors and numbers are really kind of tied together in terms
Absolutely.
Of vibration or music, right? I mean, it really stems from music or the vibration of things. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
colors and numbers are very similar. Yeah. So in terms of the colors mm-hmm. with your cards, what, you know, I guess, did you get the intuitive meaning from these, you know, in terms of the colors? What do they stand for or what do they represent?
Oh, well, that's interesting because at the time I was working on a fashion book for Putnam, color book. It had, you know, and there's a section in there that was all about what the colors we wear mean, what they mean. And I did tons of research, and there was very little at the time. This is now, I would say, in the mid to late 80s. And I did all this research, and then around that time is when I had my near-death experience. And because the colors were swirling in my head, I think the angels came and told me the stories in colors. So I had the color information, and I happened to be a color expert. So it was like, okay. So, you know, when I look at a card spread with the color wisdom cards, when I lay them out, I can look at them and do an overview. In fact, I'm doing a I'm starting a workshop in January on the reading with color stuff, and it's going to be like an ongoing thing, a workshop for the color wisdom cards. And one of the things that I can do now is I can lay out the cards. Like, you can look at numbers. I can look at the cards and go, okay, a red card I know is where you're sourcing your energy from. So when I see a red card come up, I know you're dealing with basic issues, a platform in your life. What's your real foundation? So I'm looking at that, and if the minute a red card comes up, I know that you're questioning your very foundation or you're building it. And,
yeah.
You know, so it just depends on which colors come up. So I can look at that and say, okay, you're sourcing your foundation from a sadness from your past, or you're ready to let go, or based on what card shows up with that color. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense. Yeah, it really is
fascinating.
Yeah, it really is, because it's interesting that the angels spoke to you in color. I tend to find that they speak to you in the language that you'll understand. For me, it was number. For you, it was color, because that was what you were dealing with and what you really understood. Interesting, really interesting.
Well, they always speak to us in that language, right? Because because that's also the people who come to us. Like, someone who comes to you for a reading may not come to me, and vice versa, because you're going to have the life experience that will support that person's ability to hear it.
Yes, yeah, I do believe that we attract. And really, I tend to work word of mouth mostly for my sessions, just because I like to attract the people that are meant to be there.
You know what? It's funny. I do the same thing with the readings. I mean, yes, I'm on the internet, and yes, people see me, and yes, people. But I think even that, they find you. You know,
yes,
if someone goes, I have to have a reading with that person. Okay. You know.
yes.
Come on down. So,
yeah,
you know,
and it works best that way. It really does, because, you know, you know that they're there for a reason, not because you've, you know, put an ad or, you know, promoted it in any way. And I feel good about doing that. You know, it's the best way, I think.
Yeah, I think both a little bit. I don't think that, you know, I think in this day and age, I think, you know, consumers are really, I mean, people out there really, there's so much information on the internet that they have a split second to decide if they're attracted to what you're offering or not. So
yes.
They're much more intuitive than ever before.
Oh, yes, they have to be, yes. Well, I guess we have to process so much that we have to rely on our intuition, or we'd be lost. Okay. So,
yeah.
Tori, I guess we have a few more things to kind of go through before we take a couple callers. I had told everyone in the beginning that we'd take some callers the second half. But
sure.
your other products, you have a candle line and also a jewelry line.
Mm-hmm.
And I always love talking to people who make jewelry, because that, too, is very intuitively done based on, you know, what gems you select. And I was looking at some of your pieces, and they're absolutely fabulous. I mean, so beautiful. Just looking at them on the screen, you can see that they're so well put together. You know, the colors and the gems that you've chosen are perfect. Can you tell us a little bit about your other lines?
Well, the the jewelry actually is all chakra vortex jewelry. And the way all that came about was, I'm one of those people, like I said, reluctant psychic. I went on a trip to Sedona years ago, and I was the only one who couldn't feel the vortex. While everybody was twirling and falling on the ground and saying, oh, I feel the energy, I was like, I don't feel any energy. And I'm sitting on this rock, and I'm going, I'm the psychic, and these people aren't, and I don't feel nothing. And then I got home. Back to the campsite that night, and I was laying on the picnic table, and it was just all stars. It was gorgeous, and I was listening to Out of Africa, and which is just this magnificent, if you've ever heard the score, it's just amazing. And I was, you know, look at stars and listen to this was incredible. And I'm laying there, and I'm thinking, suddenly it dawned on me that the reason it didn't work for me was because it was external sourcing of an energy that comes to me through, you know, an internal source. In other words, I didn't need to look for it out there, that the vortex was in me and I could awaken it at any time. And so that's what happened for me with the jewelry, was that I started to realize, first I had been working with Jeff Lewis, one of my clients, has a Bravo show flipping out. And I got very inspired through doing house blessings with him to create some chakra vortex jewelry for the home that would change the energy within the home. And if you looked at my line, you can see I only have 6 pieces. I don't have like a 50 million pieces that do all this, because I'm really looking at specifically what will change the energy in a room. And one of my favorite pieces is the open heart, because it somebody was saying to me, she called me up and she said, "Why don't you have a protection piece?" I said, "Well, that's the open heart." And she said, "What do you mean? Why would I open my heart?" And I said, "Because if you open your heart, automatically angels will protect you from those who don't have an open heart." And she went, "Oh." So, you know, it's the going for things rather than against. So
yes.
The chakra vortex pieces work with the for energy of the outcome. So if you're looking to protect yourself, you want to open your heart fully and allow only those to come in who have an open heart. And so that's one example. And so the jewelry line, I have actually 4 collections, but the home collection, my fluid elegance, which I love, which each piece is a chakra piece that's specifically for one of the 7 chakra. And that was very popular with a lot of masseuses, because they could, if they were working on one particular chakra energy, they could hang it. It comes in a box, so you can hang it with and open the box and work with a client, and that particular chakra center just gets pulled open with that particular piece. So, and then my final collection on in the necklaces is my malas, which are specific intention pieces, specifically designed to awaken and activate that chakra and bring about the attraction to you. I also created my gratitude collection, which is actually my little personal favorite of the collections. And those are gratitude bracelets. So that's the jewelry. I mean, and it all, each one ties into a specific intention, because I believe that, and by the way, the way I set up my whole site, Michelle, is that if you just go and look and you're attracted to a particular piece, it will tell you about you. It will say, this is what's going on with you if you like this piece. And
yes, I like that. Yeah, I did see that, and I thought that was really neat, yeah.
Yeah, I did that because I felt that it would tell people what's up and give them that opportunity to kind of go, is that what's up with me? And then if it is, then that's the right piece. If not, they can go, I'm not vibing on that. Oh, I don't want that. And then what happens is, and I get a lot of notes like this, they go, no, that's not me. I'm not doing that. And then they go away, and then 4 days later they come back and they go, you know, that is what's going on, and I want to change it.
Yes.
So, you know, so that's kind of, that's the jewelry collection, and I just did a really cool wishing dove piece that's wonderful that was a little ornament for Christmas, and it came with a card, and I wrote a specific message for the person who bought it. So that was kind of neat. We just did that. And I think that's basically, like, I think that's it on the jewelry. And the intention candles are just, those kits are just so labor intensive, Michelle. Oh, they're all hand poured. They're all.
Wow.
Yeah, every one of them is hand poured. I have a Reiki practitioner who pours them for me. And they have crystals in them. They're organic soy wax, which is just, you know, expensive as all get out to produce.
Yes.
And I had to go to college because I have them poured in Colorado, which is a place I love most in the world. And what I did was, I went there and I blended, and we had to re-blend once I went to soy. So I had to go back because soy changes the composition of the blends. So it was a very interesting experience. And then I have with it a booklet that tells you what day of the week to set your intention. So as you know, like Thursday's Jupiter day, you know, so if you want to expand something, that's the day to start that intention. And then a little information on how the candle burns and what it's saying. And so it's kind of a, and then, you know, the intention candles have been so, I mean, I was surprised how successful they've been. I mean, I've had companies buy them, you know, by the half dozen, because there's this one guy that's, you know, says my sales are up, and so I'm buying more. So, hey, great. You know, and that's because they set the intention. You know,
yeah.
They work it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, I thought those were really great, too. You know, I love candles, and the whole idea with a candle and intent, it just makes so much sense to me because of the light.
Yeah, and if you've ever heard that saying, you know, I'm just going to sit and look at the fire, you know,
yeah.
There's something magnetic about the fire. When we look at a fire and it's burning within us and it's burning in the candle, and that's why you never blow a candle out. You always use the lid to you know, dim the flame, because once you blow a candle out on an intention candle, it blows out the intention.
Yes. Yeah, I get you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so if someone wanted to buy a candle or a jewelry piece, is it ToriHartman.com? Is this where they...
Yeah, they'll find me either way through the. If you want to go and get the free reading on the color, you know, colorwisdomcards.com, you can go there and you can go to the site, and it's because it's kind of an offshoot of the site. And then ToriHartman.com is also the main page. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. Let's get to some callers because I have
sure.
You know, nine callers in there, ten including you, but they've been patiently waiting, so I'm not
right.
Sure how you'd like to go about this, but we'll just...
Well, let's bring them on and see if they have a question for us, and you and I will pull a card, and we'll tell them what's up. They
okay,
want.
Great. All right, let's see who we have. Caller number one. Hello,
Hello,
who do I have on the line?
LaShondra.
Hi, LaShondra. Do you have a question for Tori?
Yes, I was wondering, do you see a reconciliation between my husband and I?
You know what? I don't even need to pull a card for that, but I will. I'm going to pull a card for you. You know what? I tell you what, LaShondra, I'm going to be really honest with you. I think that's entirely up to you, in the sense that you know, the issues that cause the problems are still there, and my sense is that, you know, because I'm just feeling your pain, sweetie. I pulled black and white for you, which is interesting because black and white is such a wonderful fable because it's about these two people who meet in heaven, and they go before the council of the great spirits, and the spirits say, well, we're not going to let you two be together on earth because you had such a tough time last time, and you've been ill-fated lovers. And both black and white are the ill-fated lovers, and they say, well, we want our own choice. We want to go and have this opportunity to be together.
Mm-hmm.
And the Council of the Great Servant says, we've never done this before, and suddenly the Great Servant's voice comes in and says, your wish is granted. And they get the wish that they ask for, and they get to meet on the earth plane. And they do meet, and they are together, and it does turn out very well for both of them. And I think one of the things I would say to you is that, you know, if there are certain issues that he's battling with and has to deal with, that's his stuff. But I have to tell you, I feel very much that the love between you is very solid. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
And I want to tell you, there's always hope as long as people are alive, number one. And I do believe that, has he promised to make some changes?
Well, actually, he left.
Mm-hmm.
And he's with a third party. So
mm-hmm.
He did promise to make changes, but he backed out on everything.
Well, I'm going to tell you this, that, you know, as I said from the beginning, if you want him back, you probably can have him back. I don't know when he's complete there if you'll want him back.
Okay.
I mean, and I want to tell you something, too, and that, you know, you really have a wonderful spirit and a lot of people that love you, and I don't want you to lose hope, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say that to you because I'm getting that very clear, and I have to tell you, I do feel that I don't know if he's healthy enough. What are you picking up, Michelle? Anything?
I really feel her pain. You know, I
do
feel
too.
Like,
I feel it too.
I feel
too.
The lump in the throat, the whole nine yards. You know, just the. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like she's paralyzed with. It needs
yeah.
to be this way. It needs. You know, he needs to come back, or I can't go on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I agree with what you're saying, Tori. That you know she needs to understand that she doesn't need to put her self worth all in this relationship. You know, she's her own individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that we're both feeling your pain is palpable, Chandra. I mean, we both really identify with it, I think. And I want to tell you, you're not alone, that other people have been through that, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we can identify with it. And I want to tell you that, you know, I do believe the two of you were meant to be together. And I don't know if that's going to continue on. In other words, I think you were together, but I don't know if he's going to be ultimately healthy enough for you, dear. By the time you get some thoughts and some blessings together and move on with some of the stuff you're doing, I don't know if you're going to want him back. And I have to tell I don't know that you will. I know it doesn't feel that way right now. And I had I feel a very similar energy to a client who she was married to somebody for 25 years and he left her for someone else. And, you know, 5 years later, of course, that relationship broke off and she remarried. She married her high school sweetheart. She married him. And the ex-husband, didn't really care. And they, he moved up the block from the two of them, became friends. And her present husband passed away, and she and her ex-husband ended up reconciling, and this was almost 10 years after their breakup.
Wow.
So we don't know what God has planned. Do you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
I want to tell you that I feel that this person will always be in your life. Whether or not you want him in your life in that capacity is going to be a choice. Does that ring true to you too, Michelle?
Yeah, you know, like you were saying, I kind of feel like it's that situation where one person has grown past the other one, if you know what I mean. It's kind
mm-hmm.
of like he's not at that level that she will be at. She's kind of growing and changing right now, and things
mm-hmm.
are shifting for her, and then he's not going to be meeting her on that same page. So, yeah, I resonate with what you're saying, that she may not want him back because the growth, they're not growing at the same rate.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I want to be very clear on that, too, like even hearing that when I say don't want him back. I think it's one of those things, it may just not fit. You know, it's like a
yeah.
child who outgrows their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't
yeah.
fit, and it's not, I don't want that. It's like, it doesn't fit,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Okay.
So, you know, just remember, I just want to tell you, love never dies. It just changes form.
Okay.
Just remember, the love's not gone. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, love's not gone. It just has changed form. And that comforted me when I went through my divorce. You know, it was just changing form.
Okay.
You know, and I send you lots of blessings this time of year. And things are going to get better. I feel there's some good things coming for you on the work front, too.
Oh, I need it.
Yeah, no, you're going to have some good blessings in January. Don't worry, God always gives back when he takes away.
Okay.
It's always part of the plan.
Well, that's good to hear. Thank you.
Many blessings.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
You too. Bye.
All right, Tori, we have
yeah.
a little bit more time to maybe take another caller. Are you ready for another one?
I'm ready. We'll
all
do
right.
this longer, Michelle. This is fun. Okay.
Hi, caller. Who do I have on the line?
Hi, this is Natalie.
Hi, Natalie. Do you have a question or comment for Tori?
Yes. My question is, do you see anything coming up for me in in terms of relocation next month?
You know, when it's funny, when you said that, my instant thing was, I feel like there's a move in store for you. I'm not sure if it's next month. I pulled Navy Trail, and Navy Trail tells me you're already on the path. So things are already in motion, and so almost it's almost like Spirit comes forward and says, well, why are you asking? You're already on that path. You're already making the changes you need to make the move.
Right, but it seems like I'm stuck and it's not happening.
I think one of the interesting things about Navy Trail is that in the stable, she doesn't realize she's actually already in motion, but it feels like nothing has happened. It feels like it's the exact same thing, but in fact, she's moved forward quite a bit. And you have a lot more knowledge than you think. And I want to remind you of something. This time of year, it always feels like nothing's moving. You know what I mean? Because everything stops energetically.
Tell me about it.
Right?
Sorry to interrupt.
So I have to tell you, I do feel that you will have a move of some kind. I pulled Ivory Tower as your second card, and I have to tell you that with that, what I feel is that any move you make right now may in fact be somewhat temporary, but it's going to be a better move than where you've been. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because
okay.
It'll be the next step.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
thank
have
you,
a good
Natalie.
Holiday.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okay, well, we have a little bit more time. Sorry I interrupted there.
No, you're totally fine.
Because you said, everything stops, and I'm totally feeling that right now, so I had to say that.
Yeah, everything kind of energetically feels like nothing's happening, because especially people who are looking for work or, you know, job hunting, it's hard. Because I have people call me, nothing's happening. Nothing's going to happen until January. Just go eat another piece of cake.
Mercury, I don't really follow astrology a whole lot, but when Mercury mm-hmm. is in retrograde, oh my goodness, I have such a hard time with that because I'm such a doer. I'm really, I'm always doing something or involved with doing something, and then when these Mercury in retrograde periods hit, it's like wham.
Also have to remember where they're hitting too, Michelle. Right now it's hitting in Capricorn, which is work, right? And Pluto.
Oh, Capricorn, yeah, Capricorn.
Chance to redo. That's why I liked you. I like Capricorns. Oh, you have a birthday coming up. Happy birthday.
Oh, well, thank you. Actually, you just had one too, didn't you? I noticed on
December 19th. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was last week, was it?
Yep, December 19th.
Oh, well, happy belated birthday.
Thank you. It's that moon in Capricorn. Old when I'm young when I'm old.
Yes. Yeah, so it's in Capricorn this year, or this shift, is it?
And so it's a chance to redo. So people are pulling out resumes, re-looking at where they want to be business-wise. Plus, we're starting the new year in Sagittarius, so Moon and Sag will affect everyone this year.
Really? Okay. You know, that's so true with me right now because I'm kind of reevaluating things. I'm looking at changing my show a bit and just reevaluating things.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it makes a total sense. You know, I don't follow it, but I think I should because it really affects me, those Mercury and retrograde periods.
Well, and where it is in the chart makes a difference. So sometimes it won't affect you at all. Some people go Mercury retrograde and everybody's like, what? But because it's in Capricorn, it's gonna hit you in business.
Yeah, and I'm such a doer that it just stops me dead, and I just can't handle it. I've got to do, and I can't wait till it's over, but I think it's over when, December 30th, or?
Not soon enough.
I know, tell me about it.
But it is a chance to redo things and to, for instance, I'm doing a new course with Daily Ohm, and I've been like, walking around, in my robe for a year going, I got to do that class. What am I going to do? And it hit me the other day, so I know exactly what I'm going to do. And so that's the great thing about a Mercury retrograde in Capricorn is things tumble together.
Yes.
And ideas come together.
Happening. The aha
mm-hmm.
moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having a couple of those,
mm-hmm.
thankfully. Thank goodness, because
I know.
Some kind of movement. Okay, so we'll take another caller. We have about 10 minutes left, so we have time for one more. All right?
Okay. And I want to remind everybody as you're taking this other caller that don't make any major decisions at the holiday time. Never make a major decision, because it's so emotionally loaded, you know?
Yes.
You can't base your worth during holiday time when everybody's out, you know, thinking about other things and distracted. So there you go.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, that's good advice. Okay, hi, caller. Who do I have on the line?
Hello. Is it me?
Hi. Who's this? Mm-hmm.
Hi, this is Hannah speaking.
Hi. Do you have
Hannah.
A question or comment for Tori?
Yeah, actually, I just have a question.
Sure.
It's about love. And mm-hmm. I was thinking for 2011, I'm very, very single. So I was just wondering if you see any possibility for meeting somebody special in the year to come.
Yeah, I do, Anna. It's interesting. I picked Silver Cloud for you, and Silver Cloud is about confusion. And what's brilliant about confusion is in the fable, and I won't tell the whole fable, but basically she climbs up the mountain because she's confused about a relationship. And when she gets to the top of the mountain, she sees the clarity of what she's really looking for and how her part plays into it, you know, how her energy plays into what's going on for her. And I would say for you, this is simply a decision for you. In other words, you have to really make the decision to, you know, it's funny because I was talking about open heart, to open your heart and open that vulnerability and really be open to someone who's just perfect for you, you know, who's your companion and your partner and your pal. And just someone juicy and fabulous. And I do feel if you do that work, if you do that opening, I feel that, you know, I feel by spring, I'm feeling like March, and I'm not sure why I feel that month, but I feel by then someone would be in your life. And also you can go on to the website to look up Silver Cloud and read the meditation, and that may give you some insight into breaking through some of the things going on for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. I feel very positive for you.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, me too. I kind of feel somewhere I know it's going to be okay, but it's nice to hear somebody telling me that as well. So.
Well, I think you already know because you even said I'm very, very single, like I'm done.
Yeah, pretty much done.
You know, when your journey stops being a growth journey on your own, you get a partner. Because then the growth begins. Right, Michelle?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a happy holiday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Merry
you
Christmas.
Too.
Bye-bye.
Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
Okay, Tori, so we have about 7 minutes left, so we can, I guess, chat a little bit more. And
okay.
So we've really covered, you know, your products and talked about your website.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess maybe we could just discuss where you see yourself going in terms of your work and what's ahead for you next.
You know, it's funny, Michelle, because I think the biggest thing for me coming forward and going into this next year is really I've been focusing so much on my spiritual club, and I think I'll continue to do that. In fact, I have part of the club is I've got a first Tuesday of the month where people call in to the private number, and I do free readings for club members. And it's been really fun. And the members, we have a private Ning board, so people, you know, interact. And we do different spiritual exercises. And just, you know, the women in the group, we just have had women so far. Men, it's open to men, too. But the women in the group really are connecting with each other, and it's really been phenomenal. So I would say in this next year, I would continue to develop my spiritual club. We have, you know, two meetings a month, and people ask questions on the board. And I'm also doing a Color Wisdom card monthly group so people can learn to read the cards. And so I think that that's kind of, you know, where I see myself really developing and working is to really expand the spiritual club. I have a couple members in Australia, one in Germany. And, you know, I just see this, the internet just opening up the world to the work we're doing, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's mind-blowing. And to be honest, it's really about finding my tribe, you know, finding people that get this work, want to do this work, want to share it, and, you know, have the gift, you know. I mean,
yeah.
you have it, so you understand, you know.
Yes, and, you know, the Internet is going to really be, I guess, key because, you know, the recession, people don't have a lot of money to travel, to attend conferences and workshops and things. So they look to the Internet and things like your club, and, you know, it really allows people to stay connected without, you know, breaking the bank, right? Because traditionally,
mm-hmm.
I guess, the conferences were big at one point, and then the recession hit, and then they weren't so popular because people couldn't afford them.
It's funny because I did my friend James Wanless, who did the Voyager Tarot, he and I, he actually came to my birthday party the other day. He and I have done a couple, what do you call it, you know, sit-downs where we've done this kind of thing where he and I just sit in the studio and we, you know, talk about oracles and stuff. And I called my friend Monty Farber, who he and his wife Amy Zerner, they've done tons of decks, and the three of us did a meeting with the oracles, and it was just phenomenal. You know, we sat down and just talked about, you know, all of these kinds of things. And I'll tell you something, that's where I see this work going. And Monty even said, he said, we should do some kind of conference. Or I said, you know, I'd love to do it. We should do something. And Monty said, with the recession, we should do something that's cost effective, you know, and go somewhere fun, but not ridiculously expensive so people can afford it.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, that's beginning too, you know, that kind of murmur of, well, let's get together with our tribe members. So I think the first thing is collecting our tribe and then finding a place where we want to get together and play,
yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And learn and explore, you know. And I think, you know, all the experts were saying to me, oh, you don't charge enough for your club because it's like, you know, $29 a month or something. And I just said, you know, it's more that I want to find the right people, you know.
Yes. I've had people say that to me as well. You know, people say, oh, you should increase your fees for this or that, and, you know, you're not charging what you're worth. And I charge what I feel that, you know, energetically what feels right to me, you know. And that's,
mm-hmm.
it may be too low in someone else's eyes, but that's just the way that I feel. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what you have to do. I mean, you have to do what you know, works for you. So my little Cancerian Owen may start barking. He's one of my two dogs. He's got a little Gemini in him, and he comes in, he starts barking. Gemini dogs bark a lot.
Oh, really?
I have a little book I did called Dog Stars, and it's a little download I have, and it's so funny because it's like one of the things I said was, if you have a Gemini dog, they bark. And I was saying that to somebody on some, you know, show I was on, and in the background you heard her dog, wah, 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 wah. I said, Gemini, right? She said, yeah. And it was just funny, you know. So, yeah, my little, he's a Cancerian Gemini, so he eats, sleeps, and barks.
Yeah. Okay, but well, thank you so much, Tori, for coming on the show. We have about a minute left, so I guess we'll have to wrap up. So if someone would like to, you know more about Tori, or, you know, look into her jewelry line or candle line or the Color Wisdom cards, you can find her at torihartman.com or colorwisdomcards.com. So thank you, Tori. It was a pleasure. You are
great.
Your energy is phenomenal, so bubbly, and I'm on
you
a high
too.
Right now. I love meeting with people who have this kind of energy because it uplifts me.
I know. I
so
love it,
too. Thank you for that.
Thank you, and I look forward to doing it again, Michelle. You were just delightful. Thanks.
Oh, thank you, Tori. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
You too.
Bye.
So next week, everyone, next week we're going to have Peter Canova on next week. He's an award-winning author, and he's the author of Pope Annalise, who he has won an award for this book. And he has a lot to say about the, you know, telepathy, remote viewing, intuitive medical readings, all kinds of stuff. So it's going to be a fun show next week. He's pretty much a spiritual guru or expert on this phenomenon. I think he's done a lot of research with his books and such. So please do tune in next week for another great episode of Surviving the Shift. Merry Christmas, everyone.